Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David, minister of the Trust Hour Cross Valley Sabbatarian Foundation on South of Trust Hour, Little Hill, Texas. Today is November 11, 2016, it is 6/12, 2020. We will start our first service today with a song entitled, Heaven Came Down. What a wonderful day, day I will never forget. After I'd wandered in darkness away, yes, when my Savior I met. Oh, what a tender, compassionate friend, He met the need of my heart. Sinners dispelling with joy and telling, He made all the darkness depart. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. When at the cross the Savior made me whole, my sins were washed away, and my night was turned to day. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. For the Spirit replied from above, into your family defined, justified fully through Calvary's love. Oh, what a standing is mine. And the transition so quickly was made, when as a sinner I came. Took up the offer of grace He did proffer, He saved me, oh praise His dear name. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. At the cross the Savior made me whole. My sins were washed away, and my night was turned to day. Heaven came down, and glory filled my soul. Now I've a hope that will surely endure, after the passing of time. I have a future in heaven for sure, there in those mansions sublime. And it's because of that wonderful day, when at the cross I believed, riches eternal and blessings eternal from His precious hand I receive. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. When at the cross the Savior made me whole, my sins were washed away, and my night was turned to day. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. Part 27, Yahweh's covenant with Abraham. We're going to start in Galatians chapter 3. It says, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? Before whose eyes Yahshua Messiah hath been evidently set forth crucified among you. This only will I learn of you. Receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, or are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Have ye suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministereth unto you, in the Spirit, I added the preposition there, in, and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law, or by the hearing of the faith in the blood of the Yeshua? Now, whenever I see that word faith, I always add in the blood of the Yeshua, in one form or another. Whether I say through the blood of the everlasting covenant, or Yahshua's blood, whatever. Verse 6, Galatians chapter 3. Even as Abraham believed Yahweh, and it is accounted unto him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of the faith in the blood of Yahshua, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture foreseen that Yahweh would justify the heathen through the faith in the blood of Yahshua, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then, they which be of the faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant of the Yahshua are blessed with the faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is every one that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of Yahweh, it is evident. For the just shall live by the faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant of the Yahshua. And the law is not of the faith in the blood, but the man that doeth the law, okay, it says, but the man that doeth them, doeth what? Do the commandments of the law. Yahshua has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed be every one that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Yahshua Messiah, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant. Brethren, I speak as the manner of men. Though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or added thereto. Now unto Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and unto seed as of many, but as of one. And to thy seed which is Yahshua. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of Yahweh and Yahshua, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of none effect. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise. But Yahweh gave it unto Abraham by promise, by a promise. Wherefore, then serveth the law. It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come unto whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but Yahweh is one. Is the law then against the promises of Yahweh? Yahweh forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the scripture has concluded all under sin, that the promise by the faith in the blood of the Yahshua Messiah might be given unto them that believe. But before faith came, in other words, before the faith in the blood of the Yahshua came, we were kept under the law. Now this word under is a preposition, and I don't agree with that being the proper preposition, even though it's here in the scriptures, put there by the translators, because under means that you're outside the law, and the law is ruling over you. The law cannot rule over you unless you are in the law. Now, this is something that we're going to have to come to grips with, folks. Under, beneath, or below are three terms that are synonyms with each other. And those three words, once again, under, beneath, and below are all prepositions. And they're all improper prepositions when you're dealing with keeping of the law. If you're under the law, that means that you're under a period of grace and of the Old Testament, and that you're under, in other words, you're confined to the law of Moses, which is the law of Yahweh written in a book, with ordinances and sacrifices. You're confined to it. But you're not under it. You're with it. You're in it. If you accept it. If you accept it, then you are in the law. You're not under it. Only sinners are under the law if they are rebellious. And I can prove that to you. First Samuel 15:22. And, 1 John 3:4. Okay. So I'll go ahead and read again. Galatians 3:22. But the scripture has concluded all under sin. Okay, yeah, this is true. We're all under sin. Now that's proper. And if we don't confess our sin, then we stay under the condemnation of the law. But if we confess our sin, then we are no longer under the law of condemnation. The Ten Commandments is a law of condemnation. Okay? It says, but before faith in the blood of the Yeshua came, with the everlasting covenant, we were kept under the law. In other words, we were kept under the law of Moses. We were kept into subjection to the law of Moses. And those that obeyed the law of Moses were no longer under the law of Moses. They entered into a covenant and agreement to keep the law, so they were no longer under the condemnation of the law. So that word, that preposition under, it should go with condemnation of the law. It should go with that. Every time you mention that word under the law, it should say under the condemnation of the law. But if you repent and confess your sin, you're no longer under the condemnation of the law. That's where the people are missing, that's your missing link for connecting the Old Testament with the New Testament. Because if you don't obey the law of the New Testament, which is the law of Yahshua, the law of the Spirit of life in Yahshua, then you come under condemnation of the new law, the new covenant. Wherefore, Galatians 3:24, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster. Now notice that past tense adverb was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Yeshua, that we might be justified by the faith in the blood of Yeshua. And I dare say that schoolmaster, the law, where is our schoolmaster today to bring us unto Yeshua? Can't avoid it. But after that faith, let's read that again. Verse 25, Galatians 3:25. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. Now that don't tell me anything. It doesn't clear up anything. But if I say, but with the understanding of the faith, and the blood of the everlasting covenant Yahshua is come, we are no longer then under a schoolmaster. The translators didn't do their job completely when they wrote the translated King James Bible. Because they'd have to know that if they had the meat of the subject, that there was a lot of more explanations they could add to it whenever they had a keyword like faith. Faith don't tell me anything standing alone by itself. But if I use some, put some support to it, like prepositional phrases in front of the word faith, which is a noun. Incidentally, every word by itself in the alphabet is a noun when it stands alone by itself. It's everything. Names, places, faiths, and name it, names and faces and places. See, names, places, and things. Names, places, and things are all nouns. All punctuations are nouns. Okay? Galatians 3:26. For ye are all the children of the Yahweh by the faith in the blood of the Yahshua. That's verse 26. That sums it up and tells it all. For you are all the children of Yahweh by the faith in the blood of the Yahshua Messiah. For as many of you as have been baptized into Yahshua have put on Yahshua. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Yahshua Messiah. And if you be the Yahshua's, if you belong unto Yahshua, and you have accepted him and you're covered by his blood, then you are the Abraham's seed and heirs according unto the promise. Okay, what are we learning here? We're learning about how to be in and with and of and for and by the law instead of under and over and outside of the law. Okay, let's now go into, I believe, the fourth chapter of Galatians. Let's continue on. Yeah, we need to, well, actually, I think we did that before. Let's go now into Hebrews chapter 8. And let's start with the first verse. And it's concerning the new covenant. Okay, now, Paul's talking about this new covenant, how it applies today. He says, now of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such an high priest who is sit on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heaven. A minister of the sanctuary, and of the true tabernacle which the Yahweh pitched and not man. For every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices. Wherefore it is of necessity that this man have somewhat also to offer. For if he were on the earth, he should not be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according unto the law, who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of Yahweh when he was about to make the tabernacle. For see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern, showed unto thee in the mount. But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. For finding fault with them, he saith, behold, the days come, saith Yahweh, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according unto the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant. And I regarded them not, says Yahweh, for this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says Yahweh. I will put my laws into their mind, and write them in their hearts, and I will be unto them a Yahweh, and they shall be unto me a people, And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Yahweh, for they shall all know me from the least unto the greatest. For I will be merciful unto their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. And that he saith, A new covenant he hath made the first one old. Now that which decayeth and waxes old is ready to vanish away. So we know that the old covenant with the animal sacrifices have vanished away. But the new covenant with the new sacrifice of Yahshua, have entered into in the New Testament. All right, it says that in chapter 9, we're going to go into the type of the Mosaic rites. Then verily the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary. So now it's referred to as the first covenant, the law of Moses. Okay. For there was a tabernacle made the first wherein was a candlestick and a table and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid, round about with gold, wherein was a golden pot that had manna, and Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenant, and over it the cherubims of glory, shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot now speak particularly. Now when these things were thus ordained, the priests went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of Yahweh. But into the second went the high priest alone once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the heirs of the people. For the Holy Spirit, this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing, which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices, that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience, which stood only in meats and drinks and divers washings and carnal ordinances imposed on him until the time of the Reformation. In other words, until the time for the reform. Reform what? To reform the doctrines of the sanctuary, the teachings of the sanctuary, in other words, to reform them. You no longer teach that you are saved by the blood of the animal, that you get your sins blotted out by applying the blood of the animal. You now get your sins blotted out by applying the blood of the Yahshua. In the heavenly sanctuary above, where he has gone into as a high priest, ready to receive your sacrifices and peace offerings and thank offerings. Yahshua's perfect sacrifice. Verse 11, Hebrews 9. But Yahshua being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean, sanctified to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Yahshua, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot on Yahweh, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living Elohim. And for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgression that run of the First Testament, that they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is of force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. Whereupon, neither the first testament was dedicated without blood, for when Moses had spoken every precept unto all the people, according unto the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats with water, and scarlet wool and hyssop, and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, This is the blood of the testament, which Elohim hath enjoined unto you. So, if the animal blood is the blood of the testament ordained by Yahweh, then who can disannul that? Yahweh wouldn't give it if it didn't have a purpose. It had a purpose to save and to cleanse from sin. Sin from you. From them. Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And almost all things about the law perish with blood. And without shedding of blood, there's no remission. So if you want remission of sins, obedience to the law and the covenant, the commandments, all those commandments, and then you'll get the shedding of blood of Yahshua applied to your record. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heaven should be purified with these. But the heavenly things themselves are better sacrifices than these. For Yahshua has not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the truth, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of Elohim for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often as the high priest entereth into the holy place, every year with the blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Yahshua was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Now that ends Hebrews chapter 9. Let's go right on into chapter 10. It says, For the law having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, it can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers once purged should have had no more conscience of sin. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sin. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, Sacrifice and offerings thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. And burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, Lo, I come in the volume of the book that is written of me, to do thy will, O Yahweh, above when he said sacrifice and obey an offering and burnt offering, an offering for sin, and thou wouldest not, neither hadest pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, Lo, I come to do thy will, O Yahweh. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. Now here's a scripture that I don't understand the writing of this, but it says, By the which will, we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Yahshua Messiah once for all. So that's so hard to decipher and understand the way that wording is in verse 10. It says, By the which will. We will. Anyway, it says, in other words, it's saying, We are sanctified through the offering of the body of through the body of the Yahshua Messiah once for all. Okay, that's simply what it's saying. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifice, which can never take away sin. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins, what sins? the sins of the past, of the Old Testament, forever sat down on the right hand of Yahweh, from henceforth expecting till his enemies he made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, whereof the Holy Spirit also is a witness unto us. For after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them. After those days, said the Yahweh, I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission of these are, there is no more offering for sin. Hold fast without wavering, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Yahshua, by a new and living way, which he has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. There you have it right there. His blood is offered on a daily basis because he entered into the heavenly sanctuary and the flesh that he was born with here on earth. And having a high priest over the house of Yahweh, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of the faith in his blood, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with the pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith in the blood of Yahshua without wavering, for he is faithful, that promise. And let us consider one another for the provoking unto the love and unto the good works, not for the sake of the assembling of ourselves together as in that manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin, but a certain fearful looking for a judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversary. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy, under two or three witnesses. Of how much sore punishment suppose ye shall he be made thought worthy, who hath trodden underfoot the Son of Yahweh, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. For we know, and before we know him that hath said, vengeance is mine, or vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Yahweh. And again, the Yahweh shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living Yahweh. We call unto remembrance the former days in which, after you were illuminated, you endured a great fight of affliction. Partly while you were made a gazing stock both by reproaches and affliction, and partly while you became companions of them that were so used, for you had compassion of me and my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your good, knowing in yourself that you have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense and reward. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of Yahweh, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure. Now you get this? Now the just shall live by the faith, his faith, and the blood of the everlasting covenant of the Yahshua. But if any man draw back, my soul hath no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe unto the saving of the soul. Now let's continue our study in the Hebrews chapter 11, the whole chapter. It's a faith chapter. There's a lot of good information here. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. What are we seeing here? What are we learning here? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith in what? What is the substance? The substance is the blood. And we'll find that information there in Hebrews 10. I just read it to you. Probably this week, verse 35 through 39 again there in Hebrews 10. It says, "Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of Yahweh, you might receive the promise." After you have done the will of Yahweh, you might receive the promise. "For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul have no pleasure in him." Okay. "But you are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but unto them that believe into the saving of the soul." Now, we don't draw back. Once you put your shoulder to the plow, you don't draw back unto perdition. Perdition means that probation closes on you when you do that, for to have eternal life. All right, let's now continue on in Hebrews chapter 11. This says, "Now faith is the substance hoped for." Is the substance of things hoped for. Now, how is faith the substance of things hoped for? Okay. So now I'm going to read that to you again and dissect it more. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report." Now look at this. Faith is with the substance. Oh no, faith is in. In is your preposition that's missing. Now faith is in the substance. And then I'll back up again and say faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant of the Yeshua, the Son, is in the substance of the things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. "For by it the elders obtained a good report." Through the faith in the blood of the Yeshua, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of Yahweh. Now what does it mean, the worlds, with an S on worlds here? Well, inspiration reveals this through various sources, that there's 99 other worlds created besides this planet here on Earth. If Earth, there was a number 100 created, or either it was a number 1 created, and there was 99 others created after it. And I believe that this Earth was actually created first. And then there was 99 other worlds created after it, because it says in Genesis 1:1, "In the beginning," and that you have to conclude then, "in the beginning of the beginning of the creation of Yahweh," when he started creating the world. He started with this one here. Number one. Okay? And so he says, so through faith, through the faith in the blood, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of Yahweh. So that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Now in 2 Peter, 3, I believe it's verse 5, "And this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of Yahweh the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the end of water." So it says the heavens were of old, meaning the atmosphere where there was a world created. You don't have a heaven if you don't have a world underneath it. Okay? whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of unrighteous men. So the heavens in our solar system and this world are reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of unrighteous men. Okay, folks, this is deep, but I'll tell you, we have information here that interpreted right will tell us exactly more truth about what we didn't know, and that heavens, there's at least 12 heavens with 12 planets created in our solar system, 11 outside of this one, this world. And he said this world is going to perish along with those heavens that's in our solar system. In other words, those planetary, where they have a planet that are representing of the 12 tribes of Israel here on this earth and the 12 sons of Jacob. Okay. Now, this planet is called the one that had gone astray. The other 11 planets didn't go astray in our solar system, but they're under the condemnation of sin because of this planet. If one member of the family sins, it brings a woe upon the whole family, even though the rest may not sin. Okay? But it says in Hebrews 11, let's read verse 4, by faith Abel, by faith in what? By faith in the blood system of the sanctuary that was supplied after Adam and Eve fell into sin unto the Adam family. Abel is obedient unto that law of sacrifice. And he says, and Abel, by faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant, Abel offered unto Yahweh more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, Yahweh testifying of his gifts, and by it being dead yet speaketh. You have to have blood for remission of sin. But the man, the sinner, has to have faith in whatever Yahweh supplies for him in the form of blood. In the Old Testament, it was the blood of the animal that Yahweh supplied. And the sinner had to have faith in that blood, that it would take the place of his sins and blot out all their sins. And likewise, the blood of Yahshua in the New Testament, we have to have the same faith when it made its transition from the old to the new. We have to have the same faith. We have to exercise our faith in the blood, wherever it's supplied from. Verse 5, it says, by faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. Now it says, the soul that sinneth it shall die. Apparently Enoch never did sin, because if he had a sin, he would have died. It says so there in Ezekiel 18:4, I believe. The soul that sinneth, he shall die. And we might turn to that and read it. Ezekiel is a latter-day prophecy for these last days. Like reading a present tense newspaper, it says, behold, all souls are mine, and as the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Well, it says, by faith, here in Hebrews 11:5, by faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant, that Yahweh promised Adam, that through his seed that would be the righteous seed would obtain the promise and inheritance of eternal life if they exercise their blood, their faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant throughout their generations. So it says, by faith Enoch was translated. Now he had faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant, and it covered his sins. I mean, it didn't cover his, it covered him. But Enoch did not sin. And so, therefore, His faith was so strong in the promise and the oath that Yahweh gave unto Abraham later, that's what kept him from sinning. Because his father raised him up from his birth to understand the plan of the salvation through the blood of the everlasting covenant, in which he practiced with his son growing up. And when his son grew up, he continued on with it. And he did that for 365 years, he said. And then Enoch went to heaven. But yet, and Ezekiel 18:4 says, the soul that sinneth it shall die. Okay, but Enoch never did sin. If he had, he wouldn't have gone to heaven, I'll guarantee you. He could have been saved, but he'd had gone into the grave after he got forgiveness of his sins and he'd been buried. And then he'd had to wait till the end time to be resurrected along with the rest of the saints to go to heaven. But because he didn't, there's no record that he ever committed sin, and so therefore he was able to go right straight into heaven. Just like Yahshua. He never committed sin either. But he died for the sins of the world. That's how come Yahshua was resurrected by the power of the Holy Spirit through Hebrews 13:20. It says so. And Yahweh took him back to heaven. Because he never sinned. Okay. But he did die and come through that. But nevertheless, he was able to enter into heaven because he didn't have any sin against his record before or after. And that's in Hebrews 13:20. It said that now the Father of the peace that brought again from the dead our Savior Yeshua, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight, through Yeshua Messiah, unto Him be glory forever and ever. Hallelujah. Okay, now, it says there in Hebrews 11, it says, verse 5, again, by faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because Yahweh had translated him. For there, before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased Yahweh. Now, what is Enoch a type of here? He's a type of all of those in the last days that are translated without seeing death here in this 12th hour. There's going to be those that are born here in the end time that will never go to the grave. Doesn't say that they hadn't committed sin somewhere along the line. It just simply means that they had their sins completely blotted out by the blood of Yahshua in the heavenly sanctuary, and that whenever their time is up on this earth, as far as living in this world, when the judgment of the living began and Yahshua comes and he finds these folks all still living, that they have his three seals on him that's mentioned there in Revelation 3:12, then they're translated into taken with God, and they're translated into the kingdom of heaven without seeing death. That's what Enoch was a type of there in Enoch 11:5. Okay. But without faith, verse 6, 11, Hebrews 11, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh unto Elohim must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So it says, without faith in the blood, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh unto Elohim must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant, Noah, being warned of Yahweh of things not seen, as yet moved with fear, prepared an ark unto the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by the faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant of the new covenant. By the faith, verse 8, in the blood of the everlasting covenant, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should have to receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, and knowing, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. So by faith in what? By faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant, he sojourned in the land of promise. Well, we're sojourning right now in the land of promise, right here in the United States. Yahweh's in the process of bringing all nations down to the valley of Jehoshaphat. Yahshua is gathering them before him. He's going to put the sheep on the right and the goats on the left. That's what he's in the process of doing right now with Donald Trump leading the brigade. Verse 10, Hebrews 11. For he looked for a city who has foundations, whose builder and maker is Yahweh. Through the faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant also, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and on him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky and the multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore, innumerable. These all died in the faith of the blood of the everlasting covenant, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Hebrews 11, verse 14. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And surely if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore Yahweh is not ashamed to be called their Elohim, for he had prepared for them a city. Okay, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. Okay, now what does it mean? By faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac his son. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. But didn't the Father in heaven, Yahweh, offer up his only begotten son for the redemption of the fallen race in this world? Of whom, verse 18, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. So now here Yahweh told Abraham, in Isaac shall his seed be called, and now he's told to go and sacrifice him for an altar. But how is Yahweh going to fulfill his promise if if Abraham kills his own son? That was given for that purpose. But it says, accounting that Yahweh, verse 19, Hebrews 11, accounting that Yahweh was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. And by faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant, Isaac blessed Jacob. And that was his son. And Esau concerning things to come. Now he blessed them both. But Esau despised his blessing and birthright, and so therefore Jacob ended up with a double portion. Okay, a blessing along with a birthright. By faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant, Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning upon the top of his staff. By the faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of the Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. By the faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw that he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By the faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant, Moses, when he was come unto years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer the affliction with the people of Yahweh than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Esteeming the reproach of the Yahshua greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By the faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. There you are, seeing him who is invisible. Now, how can Moses see anything if he's invisible? It means that he appeared unto Moses visibly at one time. But Moses says, but he is invisible all the time. Through faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant, he kept the Passover. And that's for sure is where the blood is first applied during the harvest year of Israel. And the sprinkling of the blood. For he kept by faith in the blood, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood. Lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. Boy, he said, we better keep this ordinance of the Passover here on the 15th day. He said, we better, or he said, firstborn of all the camp here in Israel then is going to die too, those that don't keep this covenant, the blood of sprinkling. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by the dry land, in which the Egyptians, as saying to do, were drowned. Why did the Egyptians drown? Because they didn't accept the blood of the everlasting covenant as offered them by Moses and Aaron. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab, by faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies 40 years earlier with peace. They said, and what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, and of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdom, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed violent in fight, fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of the cruel mockings and of scourging. Moreover, of bonds and imprisonment, they were stoned, they were sawn asunder. Isaiah was cut in two, you know. Were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskin and goatskin, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all having obtained a good report through the faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant, received not the promise. Yahweh having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Okay, read. Okay, so that brings the end of our study for the day in Hebrews chapter 11. We will now close with a song. Are you washed in the blood? Have you been to Yahshua for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless, are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you walking daily by the Savior's side? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you rest this moment in the crucified? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood in the soul, cleansing blood of the Lamb. Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? And the bridegroom cometh, will your robes be white? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Will your soul be ready for the mansions bright and be washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Lay aside the garments that are stained with sin, and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's a fountain flowing for the soul unclean. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?